You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Friday, October 16th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. And today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Today we preview the Week 6 matchup between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. It will be Sunday in Miami, 4:05 p.m. Eastern scheduled kickoff time. And this game's happening a few weeks earlier than we were expecting it to, the league changing the schedule. So we have a Jets-Dolphins game here in the middle of October. And on today's show, we're going to preview the game. And I'm going to give a key player, a key matchup, and a key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball as the Jets look to avoid an 0-6 start. And it's going to be a challenge because this is a Miami team that's coming off a big win against the 49ers. And typically this would be the kind of week where maybe you'd think after a cross-country trip and a big win, there'd be some sort of letdown. This could be a trap game, but I think that Miami is going to be plenty motivated to beat Adam Gase this week. So I do not anticipate this being a trap game for Miami. So let's get to the preview. And my key player, I wish he wasn't my key player, but I mean, he's pretty much going to be the go-to guy on this Jets offense now, I think, whether I like it or not, and that is Frank Gore. And when Le'Veon Bell being released earlier in the week, that means Gore is now the number one back. And as much as the Jets tried to tell us that LaMichael Perine was going to see his workload increase, the fact of the matter is Le'Veon Bell missed 3 weeks prior to the game against the Arizona Cardinals, and Frank Gore was the go-to guy. Heading into last week, he was number 12 in the NFL in carries, and even though he has not been very effective, heading into last weekend's game, he had the lowest yards per carry average in the NFL. Jets are going to keep giving him the ball, I think, because that's what Adam Gase wants to do. So that means Gore is going to have to start making some plays. We all know Frank Gore has had a tremendous career in this league, and we know that in certain situations, short yardage situations, perhaps he can be useful, but the Jets just need more. And I've watched Frank Gore on the film. And it's always tricky when you're watching the film because things happen so fast in the NFL. But when I've been watching replays of some of these plays that Gore's been running the ball on, there have been instances where I wonder, because there have been holes there where they're just not hit quickly enough. And there's running room if the back can just get to the spot quick enough. And I wonder whether this is just a situation where a younger Frank Gore would be able to make those runs, hit those holes quickly, and then run to daylight. And maybe he's not able to do it anymore. Well, he's going to have to start doing it, because just the way this Jets offense is built, I think without Sam Darnold, with Joe Flacco in there, you're going to see the Jets rely on Gore quite a bit. Again, this is not what I want it to happen. It's just my read on the situation. It's my read on the way the Jets are building their roster right now. So I would not be surprised to see Frank Gore get 15 to 20 touches in this game. I don't think he should, but I think that's probably the direction we're heading. He's just going to have to make the most out of those touches he gets. And if he doesn't, if the Jets are constantly in second and third down situations, then they're going to have issues. What's interesting about the Jets' game plans over the last few weeks is you can tell that the goal is to stay out of third and long situations. The thing is, the best third down offense in the NFL is to not get to third down. It's to move the chains on first and second down and not put yourself in a pressure spot on third down at all. So hopefully Gore can break some big runs and the Jets can move some chains on some early downs and distances, because that's really the only way they're going to score points. This is not a league of 14, 15 play drives. This is a league of big plays, and the Jets need some big plays, and I think Frank Gore is now going to be the go-to guy on this offense, so that's what's going to need to happen. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Pierre Desir, and part of the reason I'm going with Desir is that I'm not really sure who's going to start across from him. Lamar Jackson, of course, got the start last week, and it was an ugly performance, as you might expect from a guy who's not only a rookie, but a rookie who's constantly asked to defend DeAndre Hopkins one-on-one. Not a great work from Greg Williams schematically in last week's game, but Desir is, I think Desir is going to be the corner. I think Desir is going to be one of the two corners, unless they bench him, which I'm not expecting. And I think he's going to see plenty of time against the Dolphins' best receiver, Devontae Parker. And we know that this year, it's been an adventure with Desir. And it's been a big play waiting to happen. And most of the time, the big play has been for the other team. And there have been too many instances where Desir has frankly looked like a Trumaine Johnson or a 2016 version of Darrell Revis, where he doesn't trust his speed, so he gives an enormous cushion. And even on like a 3rd-and-5 play, he's giving like 10 yards of cushion so that it's an easy pitch and catch for a first down. The Jets cannot have that. However, Desir has also made some big plays on his end. He's got some interceptions. And this is a Jets team that, again, is in desperate need of some big plays. You'd hope they come on offense, but you take them if they come on defense. And we know the Jets are playing against a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has some very good moments, but also has some moments where he does not protect the football well enough. There could be some opportunities in this game for the Jets to turn Miami over. In fact, I think if the Jets are going to win this game, they may have to turn Miami over because of the state of this offense right now. They may need the defense to do some scoring. So Desir is a guy who likely is going to see some action this week because I think he's going to see a lot of time against Devontae Parker, who's the Dolphins' best receiver at this point in time. So can he make plays if Fitzpatrick gives him the opportunity? Can he, you know, either set the Jets up with a short field or maybe run one back? I think that's something the Jets will need. So Pierre Desir is my key player for the Jets on defense. Make you the best you at whatever you do with Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. They're easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, for 20% off at BuiltGo, BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday as we preview the Week 6 game between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. This game was scheduled to originally take place next month, but because of the changes the NFL has made to its schedule, it is moved up to this weekend. And in this segment, we're going to talk about key matchups. And on the offensive side of the ball for the Jets, I am going to say my key matchup is Joe Flacco and Connor McGovern against this Dolphins defensive front. And Joe Flacco is an important player for the Jets, obviously. He's the quarterback, and the Jets are going to need him to go out there, make good reads, hit passes, you know, hopefully make more big plays than we saw a week ago. But I'm going to put Flacco and McGovern together because this Miami defense is going to present some issues for the Jets. And the Jets may have to work with a reconfigured offensive line. It's not clear whether Mekhi Becton's going to play. He has missed practice all week. Alex Lewis has also appeared on the injury report. He missed practice on Wednesday. He was back Thursday in a limited capacity. So I always say when you talk about the injury report, the trend is really important, and Lewis seems to be trending in the right direction, but there's a bit of a question mark there. And this is a Miami front that last week gave Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers a lot of headaches. They were showing lots of different looks. They were blitzing from different angles. So it's going to be imperative for the Jets to make sure, before they do anything else, that they are in the proper blocking assignments. They need to make sure that they are able to identify who's blitzing and make sure everybody's accounted for, make sure that they're in the proper protection. Because if you don't do these things, you can forget about anything else. You're not going to have an opportunity to execute as an offense. And frequently, I don't know the extent to which Flacco's responsible for things or McGovern's responsible. I don't know whether it's 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, but typically it's the two are working in tandem. The center and the quarterback are working together to figure out what the defense is doing and make sure everybody's accounted for, make sure the Jets are in the proper scheme. So I'm going to put them together because you could just see a scenario where the Jets are constantly in the wrong blocking alignment and there are free runners. It's kind of what happened last week to San Francisco, and it just destroys the game. So the Jets are going to need to stay on top of this. And again, with an offensive line where you may have new pieces moving in and out, you may have guys moving from one spot to another. You know, if Becton's out, does George Fant play left tackle? Does Chuma Edoga, who plays right tackle? You know, guys who potentially aren't used to working together. It could create a challenge for this team. So that's my key matchup on the offensive side of the ball. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm just going to say Mike Gesicki against Jets linebackers and safeties. And I have a memory of last year's game in Miami when the Jets were beaten by the Dolphins, the then winless Dolphins team, to fall to 1-7. And it was the low point of the 2019 season. And Mike Gesicki destroyed the Jets, especially James Burgess, who will not be playing in this game. But it would be nice to see the Jets linebackers and safeties play well, because in recent weeks, I don't think the Jets have gotten very good play. I'll tell you a guy who I think has been very disappointing for the Jets in particular is Bradley McDougal, who when the Jets got him for Jamal Adams, you could not expect Jamal Adams-type production, but I was expecting a quality, credible starting safety, and he's been bad so far. I mean, there's really no other way, right? He's just been bad. He's taking bad angles, missing tackles. I've been very disappointed in his play so far. But the Jets just need better play all around on their defense. And, you know, I think the linebackers have not been as good as I was expecting them to be. Now, Avery Williamson, I thought, played a pretty strong game last week. So did Neville Hewitt. But, you know, I think the safeties and the linebackers for the Jets have been kind of inconsistent so far this year. I'd like to see better play from them. And this is a game because I think Gesicki is going to be featured in the Miami offense. He's a guy that's going to see plenty of action. He's going to see plenty of volume in this game. And the Jets can't let him destroy them the way he did a year ago. Otherwise, it's going to be a long game. And it's tricky for the Jets because there just aren't many quality pieces on this defense. You don't have Jamal Adams like you did a year ago. So it's going to be tough for the Jets in this game. You know, I remember a game that the Jets and Dolphins played in early December at MetLife Stadium. And the Dolphins were able to move the ball at will. I think Jamal Adams was out of that game. And the Jets just kept making plays in the red zone and forced the Dolphins to kick field goals. I think the Dolphins may have kicked 7 field goals in that game. The Jets held them out of the end zone, even though the Dolphins kept getting into scoring range. And that's kind of the way the Jets have to play defense now without Jamal Adams. They need to essentially, I mean, you're going to have to sacrifice yardage and hope somebody steps up and makes plays. And especially, I think, when you get into the red zone, that's a spot where a tight end becomes dangerous because there's not really a lot of space to move around. Receivers aren't going to get a ton of separation, so you tend to throw it to bigger targets, and the Dolphins have some big wide receivers as well who also could be involved in the action once you get into the red zone. But I think especially at the tight end position, that's a spot where the Jets could be in some trouble in this game if their linebackers and safeties don't come to play. So my key matchup is, again, going to be Gesicki, who plays tight end for Miami, a guy who is a part of the I improved a lot after Adam Gase stopped being my coach club, which hopefully the Jets will have a number of those guys soon enough. In fact, I think as bad as he's looked this year, Chris Herndon's probably my number one candidate, because I think about what's happened in Miami with the tight end there. Chris Herndon might be my number one candidate for that, to join that club once Adam Gase is no longer the head coach of the New York Jets. But for this game, I think that's my key matchup because Adam Gase is no longer Gesicki's coach, and he's now starting to look pretty good. So that's my key matchup. Jets need to shut him down, especially in the red zone. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday. It's our final show of the week as we preview the Jets and the Miami Dolphins this Sunday. They'll play in the late afternoon time slot in Miami. Kickoff time is scheduled for 4:05 p.m. Eastern time. And in the final segment of this show, I'm giving my key to victory on offense and defense. On the offensive side of the ball, the Jets just need to make a concerted effort to try and push the ball down the field. I talked about this earlier in the show. One of the big problems with this offense is the conception of it is just totally wrong. Adam Gase is trying to keep the Jets in third and short situations when the best offense on third down is to never get to third down. Adam Gase is trying to put together, you heard it again last week. You also heard it against San Francisco where the Jets put together double digit play drives, 12, 13, 14 play drives and come away from them with zero points. And when you hear Adam Gase interviews and he talks about these drives, he talks about how the Jets moved the ball, but it was just one play that he couldn't finish it. That's not the issue. The issue is this is not a league where 12, 13, 14 play drives win you games. It's really difficult to execute that many times in a row. The more plays you have, the more likely it is something's going to go wrong. Somebody's going to commit a penalty. Somebody's going to miss a block. Somebody's going to drop a pass. Every play you run is an opportunity for somebody to fail to execute. When you are forcing your guys to execute 12, 13, 14 plays in a row, it's inevitable something's going to go wrong. It's inevitable you're not going to be able to finish drives. That's what happens. And that's what has happened to the Jets. You need to be able to score quickly. And that's especially true when your talent level's low, because then you're asking bad players to execute at a high level for a long time. It just doesn't work. And last week, the one touchdown drive the Jets put together came because they tried to push the ball down the field. And I know you could say, well, the Jets don't really have any playmakers in the passing game. But that's true. Listen, and I'm not expecting this to be a very successful offense, but the only way you can score is to try and challenge the defense, put some pressure on the defense. And when the Jets did that last weekend, they hit a big pass. And they didn't hit a big pass because somebody beat a corner one-on-one. They hit a big pass because by putting pressure on the defense, by putting that stress, by testing them deep, Arizona busted a coverage and Jamison Crowder got wide open. That's what you need to do. I'm not expecting the Jets to be the Kansas City Chiefs offense. I'm not expecting them to produce big plays at that rate. But you can't produce big plays if you don't even try to do it, if you don't put any pressure on the defense. So the Jets just need to make an effort at this. And one of the things that kind of bugs me about this offense now is that you have Joe Flacco playing quarterback. And Joe Flacco, this was not true early in his career, but it was true near the end of his career, near the end of his time in Baltimore, has turned down into a guy who's afraid to throw the ball down the field. He's a check down artist. And I worry how natural of a fit it is with this Adam Gase philosophy of never testing the defense deep. Because, yeah, look, you're not going to make mistakes. You know, people say Joe Flacco didn't make mistakes. You can't make a mistake if you don't even threaten the defense. If every throw is a two-yard pass, you're never going to throw an interception. But you're also not going to score points. And the goal of this offense can't be to avoid throwing interceptions. The goal of the offense has to be scoring points. So the Jets need to do a better job of at least trying to test the defense. Now, on the other side of the ball for the Jets defense, I think disguising your looks pre-snap is important, because we know Ryan Fitzpatrick is the Dolphins quarterback, and we know Fitz well. And Fitz, of course, as you'll hear during the game, no doubt, is very smart because he went to Harvard. Now, he is a smart quarterback when it comes to deciphering what happens pre-snap. And more often than not, he's correct, and that's why he has success. But when he has failures, it comes because he's misdiagnosed what happened. It doesn't happen much, but when it does happen, it could be catastrophic. As we remember all those years ago when he played quarterback for the Jets, even though he gets most of his pre-snap reads right, part of playing quarterback in the NFL is deciphering post-snap what's happening. And if it's not matching with what you saw pre-snap, then you need to adjust. When Fitz gets it wrong pre-snap, and it's not often, disastrous things happen because he does not process it well. So what the Jets need to do is try and disguise their looks pre-snap and force him into mistakes, force him into misdiagnosis, and perhaps that will create opportunities for this defense to make big plays, turn the ball over, get the Jets the big game-changing plays that they're going to need to win this game. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy this podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you enjoy the game this weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll be back Monday to break down what happened between the Jets and the Dolphins.